Appreciate the prayer and trust that you were praying along with Brother John that the Lord might be merciful unto us this morning. We are wanting to kind of close out our thoughts in Acts as soon as we can get there. We're not going to go through the whole book of Acts. What our intent was to show the early church. And there's just a few more things to show. And then it seems from that point forward, the church is launched and is fully functioning as we have it today. The exception would be that they still had apostles in those days, and we do not, except the ones that are in the book. We have these apostles. As I go through things like this, and we did it with Book of Romans, we did it with John, we're doing it with Acts, I learned so much, things that I have just not noticed and just glossed over and et cetera, et cetera. And I see things I've never seen before. Just this morning, I don't know why the thought hit my mind, it just did, that it appears, and again, this is from history, not necessarily the Bible, but it appears that there's agreement that Paul and Peter both died within about 2 years of each other. Now you just think what that must have been to the church. You know, how many churches at that time owed their existence, and of course we know it's the Lord. I'm not saying that's not that. But Paul talks about that he had begotten people through the gospel and so forth. And look, you know, we mourn when we have a brother or a sister that passes us, but right now I'm thinking of ministry that passes on. But can you imagine apostles and so closely together? I had no idea of that. That they passed so closely. John ended up living another 30 years or so past that point, but I was shocked when I learned that. So just an example of things I've never thought about before, and I have learned in trying to study and preach in this manner. What we want to try to do this morning, the Lord be our helper, is to get through Paul, so to speak. We have spent quite a bit of time on Paul, which is a good reason. He wrote most of the New Testament. He wrote 14 books in the New Testament. And we're going to get to the point here today, I hope, that from the point that we end, we hope to, for the remainder, until you get to John and his writings, but most of the book is about Paul, Paul's experience, how the Lord used Paul, and how we benefit so much from his writings. Again, 14 books in the New Testament. Last we talked about Paul. We shared some things that, again, got to give me a little bit of room here. These things are not they're alluded to in Scripture, but they're not stated as to when certain things happen. So it's about this time. It's probably within 2 or 3 years of the times I'm going to be able to tell you, Lord be our helper. But it just kind of, I just want you to see the experiences of Paul and what we can learn. You know, we can learn from Paul's writings by his books. And we can learn from his experiences, and then things about just his life that aren't necessarily in the book, but we know what happened. For instance, we know he was born. The Bible doesn't say exactly when he's born, but history tells us that he's born around 6 A.D. is when he's born. Goes on that we know that his mother and father were both Jews, and that his father was a Pharisee. The Bible tells us that. His father was a Pharisee. And he was born in Tarsus, which was a very influential city in the day, in the Roman Empire and so forth. And no doubt his mother and father, being of good stature and seemingly with wherewithal to do for their children. And we don't know if Paul had any brothers or sisters. Doesn't mention any that I recall. But we know that he was raised at the feet of Gamaliel. But even before that happened, you can tell by Paul's, like when he went to Mars Hill, he knew their customs. Where did he learn that at? No doubt he was taught in Roman laws and manners and probably Greek culture and so forth. And certainly instructed in the law. Probably, Paul was a young man when he went to Jerusalem to learn at the feet of Gamaliel. He was probably somewhere between 14 and 20, something like that, when he went there. And he was taught in the law, which is another way of saying the Old Testament. He was taught concerning the Old Testament, and he describes himself concerning the law blameless. He came out of that experience at the feet of Gamaliel, being a Pharisee himself. And we see the young man, now we're finally getting into scripture that we actually have, that we can talk about particularly, that the first time he's mentioned was when they stoned Stephen. And that was, probably about A.D. 33 maybe, 32, 33, somewhere along those lines. And the next we hear about Saul's very next chapter in Acts, the next thing we hear about Paul is that, first of all, they laid their feet, their clothes, or their coats at the feet of Saul when they stoned Stephen. And he was consenting, it says, unto his death. And next thing we hear is about the persecution starting in the church. And up until that time, it was threatened. Well, with the death of Stephen, the threatening is over with. It's now actually happening. It's actually occurring. And we find that Saul of Tarsus, Saul, made havoc of the church and probably started in about that 33-34 time period. Best we can tell is he's about 28 years old when he struck down on the road to Damascus. His whole life changed. His whole life changed. He was struck blind. And he didn't eat or drink for 3 days. Wondering, what in the world has happened? I believe he saw himself as he was, but he saw himself for the first time as a sinner before God. Before that, he said he was blameless. Said he was blameless. But in the seventh chapter of Romans, it says all manner of concupiscence. He couldn't count it. It's just all manner. And for a person that thinks he's perfect to now seeing how ruined he is in nature, and then being blind, dark, can't see a thing, had to be led by the hand, it said, to Damascus. When he got there, folks knew who he was. The Lord appeared unto Ananias and sent Ananias down to him. Scales fell from Saul's eyes. He's baptized. And immediately, I think the scripture says that. Let me make sure. I think it says straightway. And straightway he preached Christ. It didn't take long. And he began preaching Christ. So we have Saul now, with a little bit of his history. And again, Saul was about 28 years old when this all began. Please keep that in mind. And we see him now preaching the very things that he persecuted. Let me read 19. Ninth chapter of Acts, 19th verse. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. How long? Certain days. How long is certain days? I have no idea. I have no idea. It was certain days. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. 21st verse. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called upon the name, called on this name in Jerusalem, and came thither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? Then it says, But Saul increased the more. Notice he's still being called Saul here by Scripture. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is the very Christ. Now, there's a time gap between the 22nd verse and the 23rd verse. 23rd verse says, and after that many days were fulfilled. Well, there's a time gap in there, and we don't know how long that time gap is. What we do know is some of what happened during that time gap. We can go to Galatians, the first chapter of Galatians. And again, I covered some of this already, but it's been a few weeks ago. So I wanted to remind, and then we'll get the rest of it, we trust. He says in 1 and 17 of Galatians, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Okay? So he's in Damascus when all this happened. He stayed there for a period of time, certain days. Then he went to Arabia. Don't know how long it took for him to get to Arabia, and don't know how long he was in Arabia, and then came back to Damascus. And then the 23rd verse of the ninth chapter of Acts picks up. So you see that, don't you? He's in Damascus, he goes to Arabia, he comes back to Damascus. And the period there had to be maybe a year, 2 years, something. I don't know. Bible doesn't say. It was certain days. It wasn't a matter of a month or two, because something happened in Arabia. There's three qualifications to be an apostle. One is to be commissioned by God Almighty, which he's already has. That's what he told Ananias. He's a chosen vessel unto me. He would be an apostle to the Gentiles. He was chosen to that, and he was commissioned to that. So that's one. The second qualification is that you be taught directly by God. Directly. Not by Ananias preaching the gospel, but that you be taught directly by God. He had kind of a Moses experience. Remember what happened to Moses? Where did he get his education? On the backside of a desert, right? And there was even a striking down of Moses, was there not, to some degree? Not the blindness and all that. But when he saw that bush that burned and was not consumed, he fell to his knees. God spoke to him and said, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for it's holy ground. God instructed Moses right there. Well, God is instructing Saul in Arabia, I believe. We've already talked to you how in Corinthian letter, when he begins to instruct the church at Corinth, because they had left off things that they did not, that they should have been doing. And they would actually get drunk on the communion wine. That's how bad it got. And Saul, or Paul, at that point, instructed them and says, that I received of the Lord, I deliver unto you, that the same night. And he talks about that like he was right there. With all authority that Peter or John or James might have talked about it. As if he actually saw it and witnessed it. Well, he wasn't there. But he got that from somewhere. And he talks about there was a period of time 14 years ago when he was caught up and he heard things. It was a vision, he says. I saw a man. He taught me things that they're unlawful for me to utter. I believe he got his education, my friends, like Moses did in a desert land, by himself, removed away from the church, and so forth, as God instructed him, as was the requirement of an apostle. So however long that happened, he's now back in Damascus. Now the third part that he hadn't done yet is that he must show miracles and miraculous power. That's a sign of an apostleship. That they can do things that other folks can't do. He'll get to that, but he's not there yet. So he's not an apostle yet. He hadn't got to that last part, but he will. But not yet. So there he is in Damascus for a certain days. He goes to Arabia, instructed of the Lord, comes back to Damascus, and I don't know how long after he gets back from Arabia that this picks up. But we do hear that after he gets back, according to, well, let me go back to Galatians again. I read to you the 17th verse. Neither went I to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem. So we got that time gap there, how long it is. It's 3 years. So that means we're to this point, perhaps 4, 5, maybe, I don't know, years after the road experience. Isn't that something? Have you thought about how long a gap or a period that would be? Hadn't been Jerusalem yet. He abode 3 years before he went to Jerusalem. In Damascus. After he got back from Arabia. That's what Scripture says. But now we can pick up reading again in the 9th chapter. And it tells us what happens when he went to Jerusalem. 23rd verse, 9 and 23. And after that, many days were fulfilled. How many? Three years worth of minis. The Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying await was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by the night and let him down by the wall in a basket. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem. So now it picks up again with what happens in Galatians. Well, let's go read that in Galatians, and then we'll come back over here to the 9th chapter again. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. He hadn't seen an apostle yet. He hadn't been to Jerusalem yet. But after 3, 4, 5 years, I don't know, certainly more than 3. I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. Wasn't a long visit when you consider how long he waited before he went there. But he abode there 15 days. But none other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Okay, 9th chapter, Acts gives us a little bit more detail about that. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. He attempted to. He desired to join himself with the apostles. But they were all, including Peter, they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Now why did they do that? Because of his reputation. He earned it well. But Barnabas. Now remember Barnabas, because he's going to come back again in a very important role in Paul's life. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, the Lord has spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And when he was come with them, and and he was with them coming and going out of Jerusalem. So what Barnabas had to say convinced the apostles that he was okay. That though he was a persecutor and made havoc, no more. The Lord struck him down. The Lord spoke to him. Ananias got to him. The blindness left. And he began preaching. And he's learned. And he's preaching. 29. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians. But they went about to slay him. Second time, right? There at Damascus they did. Had let him down by a basket. Now here in Jerusalem, the Grecians are attempting to slay him. And when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. Well, that's where he was born. Saul of what? Saul of Tarsus. Now, let's go the last time to Galatians and see what they have to say about it. I ended reading in the 19th verse of the first chapter of Galatians, but other of the apostles saw I none, save James the Lord's brother. Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came into the region of Syria and Cilicia. Guess what the chief city of Cilicia is? Tarsus. So they agree. And was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ. But they had heard only that he was persecuted us in times past, now preached the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorified God in me. What happens after Saul leaves Jerusalem? Back to the 9th chapter of Acts. I read to you, and when the brethren knew that they brought him, down forth to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus, the chief city of Cilicia. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied. How about Saul? He's not in that. He's not in that. Where's Saul? He's in Tarsus. Is there a church in Tarsus? Bible doesn't speak of one. Not yet. What's he doing? He's abiding by himself. I believe still preaching. But he is by himself. For how long? Well, we're in 9 and 31, which is what I just read you in Acts. Look at 9 and 32. What does it say? And it came to pass as Peter passed. Do you know the rest of this chapter? From 32 to 43? And all of the 10th chapter? All of it? That's when he went to Cornelius? And from the 11th chapter, from the first verse down to the 24th verse, it's all about Peter. It is estimated that the time that Saul spent in Tarsus alone was 7 years. It's amazing. 10 years plus. The three and the seven. 10 years plus. After he struck down and told what he was to do, nothing happened. Now, what do you think was happening? Think the Lord was with him? During that period? Absolutely. Absolutely. Let me tell you what was going on. The Lord was preparing Saul of Tarsus to be Paul. He was teaching him himself. He was educating himself. He was being taught by God himself all during this time to be the great apostle Paul. But he is about 38 years old now. 10 years has passed. He hadn't wrote anything yet. He's only been to Jerusalem for 15 days in this 10-year period. He hadn't been to any of the churches, just with the apostles. That's it. Well, Barnabas comes on the scene again. You can go to the 11th chapter of Acts. And the apostles have been scattered because of persecution. And Antioch, the Lord is working in Antioch. The Jews heard of it, and in 22, it says, then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. And he did. And he had great success. And the Lord added, and for some strange reason, Barnabas thought of Saul. And look at what it says. Well, let me just, in the 25th verse. Let me read 24th again. For he was a good man, talking about Barnabas, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord there at Antioch. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now things are getting ready to happen fairly quickly. Here Saul has been by himself. Barnabas comes, they come back to Antioch, and things start happening. One of the first things that happened is a man prophesied that there would be great dearth in Jerusalem. So the church at Antioch thought, let's send them money to help. So they did, and they sent the money by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. What's so big about that? He's getting ready to go back to Jerusalem for the second time. And there he abode for a while. You can go read about what happened during this time. And what happened is Herod had killed James, the brother of the Lord, and took Peter with the same intentions. When they killed James, it excited the Jews. They were glad of that. They celebrated that. So Herod took Peter with the same intentions. But what happened? Well, an angel of the Lord came while he was in prison. Freedom. He walked out of the prison. Came back to the church there at Jerusalem. They didn't believe it at first. But there he was. Barnabas and Saul were there. They saw that. Not only that, But Herod continued to threaten the church until the Lord sent an angel to smote him. Killed him. Barnabas and Saul saw that. Then we get into, if I can find it, it's in the 11th chapter of Acts again, in the earlier. It's in the last of the 11th chapter of Acts. No, it's not. It's in the 12th. Let me find it. Okay, in the 12th is where about Herod and what happened. You could read that. Acts 12. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword and so forth. Did the other things. Herod is killed. 24th verse, the last two verses of the 12th chapter. And the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem. So see, they've been in Jerusalem all this time. Returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry of what? Taking the money to them. And took with them John, whose surname was Mark. So they put John Mark back. Now, first couple of verses of the 13th chapter of Acts is very important in Paul's life. Saul's life. If you have your Bibles, look at 13 and 1. Now there were in the church. It doesn't say at the church. It says in the church. What does that mean? They're members. He's getting ready to talk about members of the church at Antioch. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, which is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Matthias, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Saul is a member of the church at Antioch. I don't know when he joined, it doesn't say. But he is he's in the church. Now you know what's getting ready to happen. Let's read it. Second, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, guess what they did? They laid hands upon them and sent them away. That's when he was ordained, my friend. At the church at Antioch. This is another 10 years has occurred. And it's been 20 years. And he's ordained. And he goes on his first journey. Now on this first journey, I won't read it to you, but on this first journey ago, he performs a miracle. Guess what? That's the last sign of an apostle. And finally, he refers to himself as an apostle in the book of Galatians. So let's recap. Let's recap. Here's a man born around 6 AD or so. By the way, before I say that, when was Christ born? You got an answer? When would you think? There's no zero AD, by the way. So when would you think? One. Yeah, that's what I thought. Isn't that logical? It's very good, but it's not true. He's not born. He's born 4 years prior to that. He's born in 4 BC. Why? Because when they set up the calendar, they messed it up, is why. They wanted it to be one, but it later found that they missed about 4 years, so they fixed it to where it's 4 BC. Yeah, did you know that? I didn't. It's one of the things I learned. I always thought it was one. Well, actually, I thought it was zero. But there ain't no zero. Then I thought it was one. Finally, I looked. Now, if you want some proof of that, further proof of that, remember when Herod, killed children, how old? 2 years and younger. That happened in 2 B.C. So 2 years prior to that would have been 4 B.C. It proves it. Why did he think 2 years? He thought if I get that 2 year period, I'll cover when he was born. Why didn't he give him 3 years and young? Because he knew that it was within 2 years. Anyway, that's just extra. So let's recap. We have a man born when I said he was, 6 A.D. Pedigree Jew background. He could give you his background, right? I'm of the strictest sect, a Pharisee, he said. Of the tribe of Benjamin. Circumcised on the 8th, etc., etc. He could give his pedigree. There wasn't anybody had a better pedigree than Saul did. Maybe they had some as good. Sent as a young boy, whenever the educational years were, somewhere between 14 and 20, sent there to Jerusalem to learn, and he did. And he excelled in it. And now a 28-year-old man, something happened to him that completely changed his life. Began preaching. Went to Arabia. Came back. Stayed in with the people at Damascus for over 3 years. Possibly 4 or 5. I don't know how long. Greater than 3. Goes to Jerusalem 15 days. Sent to Tarsus. And there he sits. If he did anything in Tarsus, we have no scripture for it. He was sent to Tarsus, and when Barnabas got ready to go get him, where was he? The same place he was sent to. He did what he was told. They told him to go. That's where he went. And he stayed there until Barnabas comes gets him 10 years or more later. Barnabas comes gets him, brings him to Antioch. They preach a whole year at Antioch. Then he sent on a ministry of taking money to the church at Jerusalem. And he and Barnabas went. Stayed for a period of time. I didn't look to see how long that was, but stayed for a period of time. Comes back from that. Somewhere along the line, he and Barnabas both join the church at Antioch. Is ordained. And is getting ready to be sent on his first journey. I left out this part. But the Bible then says in Acts 13 and 9, then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. He is never referred to as Saul after this. It's Paul. Now, he writes 14 books. The best I can determine, the order in which he wrote them is this. The first books he wrote is 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, about 52 A.D., 52 to 54 A.D. It's 20 years. 34 to 54, that's 20 years. Before he wrote his first book, 48 years old. And in the next 14 years, 12 years. Next 12 years, he writes 14 books. Next book he wrote after Thessalonians was Galatians. Next book after Galatians was 1st and 2nd Corinthians. then Romans, then begins the prison epistles, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, Philemon. Then in the 60s, he writes Hebrews, Titus, and then in the 60s, he writes 1st and 2nd Timothy. And those were the last books he wrote. It's thought that he completed, he died in A.D. 61, I believe it was. No, A.D. 66 is when he died. He wrote Timothy around 65. So just a year or so after Timothy is when he died. And he was 61 years old when he died. That's his biography. Now, so what? So what? If Brother Steve was here, I'd look at him and say, what's the application, Brother Steve? Because that's what he told me one time. He says, Brother Sonny, somebody preaching can't tell me the application to me today, what benefit is it? Here's the application. How did all of this begin when Ananias got to him? Or even before Ananias? Acts 9 and 15. Here's the Lord speaking to Ananias. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And yet he was over there at Tarsus and hadn't done any of that yet to speak of. Tell you one thing that we could say about Paul. He was a very patient man. We have no scripture that would indicate that he got impatient at Tarsus. He was busy. The Lord was teaching him. The Lord was instructing him. He was growing in knowledge and wisdom so that he could be the man that he would later be. Here's what James has to say about the book of James. And I believe that Saul of Tarsus after Ananias is a wonderful example of this. 1 and 4. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire. E-N-T-I-R-E. Wanting nothing. Do you know that's the only place of all the scripture that that word entire is used? That this is it. James 1 and 4. It's not used anywhere else. You know what it means? It means to be complete in every part. That's what was happening. He was learning. He was being complete. The Lord completed him so he could do the work that he was called to do. This is a man that was struck down, that God spoke to him, that God sent Ananias to him, began to preach, but waited 10 years before the Lord sent him on a journey. And more than that, before he was ordained. Might be good for a young man to remember that. 10 years he was preaching before he was ordained. Sometimes they ordain them and they hadn't preached yet. Not only that. But we're told what Paul tells Timothy, if I can find it. And I mean that literally, if I can find it. Well, I found the book, but I can't find what I'm talking about. I think I remembered where it is. Hang on. Here it is. Okay. Here it is. 21. Before 21, he begins talking, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold, but silver and of wood and of earth, some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, from those dishonoring things, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet, M-E-E-T, meet for the master's work and prepared unto every good work. I say Paul's a beautiful example of that. The Lord preparing him, making him meet for the master's work. And when the Lord began to use him, I mean he was fruitful. Look at what he did. Look at the books he wrote. Look. A majority of the New Testament, from the 11th chapter, 12th chapter of Acts, throughout till you get to John's writings, or Peter's writings, and then John's writings, is all about the Apostle Paul and the Lord using him. I'll tell you something else he learned. He says it in Philippians 4. He says in the 4th chapter of Philippians, in the 11th verse, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. What wisdom. He didn't learn that when Ananias got to him. He learned that, my friends, I think, being there in Tarsus for that long period of time. Whatever state, I've learned to be content. He had the promise of God that he would be a preacher to the Gentile. But he didn't go on his first journey, my friends, until Acts 13. Way after he was struck down. This is early 50s when this happened. When he went on his first journey. 49, 50, something like that. My point is this. Let's learn from what Paul wrote in his books, which all of us know that we should do that. Every minister has spent hours and hours studying Paul's writings, preaching from Paul's writings. I'd say, pick a number, 60-70% of sermons are from Paul's writings. Some of us more. So let's learn from what he says. But let's also learn from what he experienced. So when we get impatient, we might remember Paul. When we get uncontent, or whatever the word would be, let us remember what the Apostle Paul did and learned. And when we think that we're of no use to God's people, Let us remember that God took a persecutor and made him the great apostle Paul. What can he do with you or with me? Whatsoever he pleases. Let's be encouraged. The Lord hasn't blessed you with the understanding that you have and not have something for you to do. All of us, male and female, adult and children. You remember, I think it was the last time when we hosted the Thanksgiving service. You know what I think? Don't know. It's just Sonny thinking out loud. You know what I think most of the people will remember more than anything else of the visitors that came? Three children running up to them some before they got to the doors and some right as they got to the doors and handing them the program with a big old smile on their face. You ever see that happen at the other places? I'm not comparing ourselves among ourselves. I'm just saying that had an impact. Children had an impact. Our desire is that we be spent, that we spend and be spent in the service of the Lord. Little things. Sister Martha Ann woke up this morning and had no idea that if she hadn't come, we wouldn't have been able to open up the bathrooms. She went home and got the key. You just don't know. You don't know. I won't get personal, but I could. I could tell you and 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 you. Even my wife, I can tell her things that she's done that's been impactful. I won't. She'd get on to me. But I could. I could tell it in Arkansas and I could tell it in Texas. And you. And you. And you. And you. All of us. And you, Sister Sue. All of us. Now it's the preacher that gets all the attention. We almost found out this morning what it would be for the preacher to be here and no one else to be here. Takes us all, folks. Takes us all. And God has equipped us. He's given us the ability. He won't grab us by the nape of the neck and make us do it. Look for opportunity. As you have, therefore, opportunity, do good. Unto all men, but especially unto the household of faith. God's blessed you. God's blessed me. God's blessed me to be a part of you. May we have confidence. As Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You have the word of a God that cannot lie, that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. You think he was with Paul or Saul before his name was Paul? After Ananias? Certainly he was. The Lord can do a lot with a handful of clay. He can do a lot. May God bless you is our prayer. As we sing some suitable hymn, we publish an open door for reception of members. If any has a desire to join Bethel,